What's Trending.
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti.
Number one on What's Trending, the news we're going to get into a bit more after What's Trending, which is reports this morning, no surprise, but that the Chiefs have informed Juwan Taylor that they plan on releasing him unless a trade comes together. That'd be amazing for the Chiefs if one did. But they're going to cut him, going to save $20 million in cap space. I think it's a no-brainer. It's something we've all talked about, even in season, that this was likely the yes. outcome. But I want to discuss where they go from here. We'll do that right after What's Trending.
Next up on What's Trending, obviously, Major League Baseball spring training continues. The Royals will lose some players this week, though, as the WBC gets kicked off later this week. Major League Baseball did also announce today that they'll do a spring breakout tournament starting in 2027. You might remember back in 2024, they started this showcase games in Florida and Arizona where they'd highlight some of the top prospects in baseball.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to do a tournament style in the middle of March as a part of those young star players coming in there, crowning a champion in both Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues and putting like these like superstar prospecty teams together to kind of be like, I think it's their way of being like, you know how you like college football players and you know who they are? Maybe you would have seen Connor Griffin at 18 or 19 participate in these games, or Jack Caglione participate in these games and get a sense of who these players are. So just another thing coming baseball's way, obviously, as they try to increase their brand.
Local college basketball over the weekend. Kansas got smoked by Arizona out there, 84-61. Missouri took care of Mississippi State. It was one of those games we said, hey, you can't lose. Put yourself in a good spot.
They did.
They went 88-64. Kansas State lost to TCU 77-68.
They are tied for last place in the Big 12. Yeah. They didn't beat Utah, so they're technically above them right now.
That's the only reason why they have the tiebreaker, yeah.
God, they're going to finish last, dead last in the Big 12? That's crazy. I mean, it might be 15th, but that's it. It's 15th or 16th at this point, based on the games played. Next up on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City opened their season over the weekend with a 2-2 draw against Columbus. Reminder, Sporting's not expected to be particularly good this year. Columbus is, however. It took a late PK save in order for Sporting to get the draw, but eventually come away with it. That's a good result for them, by the way, even at home against a good Columbus squad.
Couple of trades today in the NFL. One, the Texans have traded for David Montgomery. That's Lions running back David Montgomery, now a member of the Texans. According to Adam Schefter, that includes a fourth-round pick, a backup offensive lineman, and a seventh-round pick. Plus, the Texans and Browns agree to a deal to send their starting right tackle, Titus Howard, to Cleveland in exchange for a fifth-round pick, as the Texans are going to revamp this entire offensive line. But a couple moves in the NFL involving the Texans today.
Yeah, they've been busy. They're not a well-run organization. They're not a laughingstock. They're not the Jets. They are not well-run. Next up on What's Trending, Tyler Reddick becomes the first NASCAR driver to ever start a season with 3 wins in a row.
Hmm.
He's obviously on Michael Jordan's team. Obviously, people making the three-peat references as a result to that. But first NASCAR driver ever to start a season with 3 wins in a row. Boy, he won that lawsuit. His team went nuts.
Yeah, what's going on?
Apparently, he was the best driver this whole time. And once they got rid of the monopoly that is NASCAR, everybody
it's
knows
crazy.
It.
It's crazy. He didn't win a race last season.
Yeah, explain to me, like, what is honestly going on? I don't watch NASCAR. So tell me, like, it's obviously historical. He's won 3 in a row. It's amazing. But what has changed?
What's different?
This guy's been in NASCAR for a while.
I mean, some of it is luck. With Daytona, some of it is luck just as much as skill. Same thing with the new Atlanta, the newly paved Atlanta. It's very much a similar style to Daytona, where there's you have to avoid the big wreck, right place, wrong time, or right place, right time sort of thing. But also skill as well. I mean, he's a very good driver. It's just that things have worked out this well, and he was great yesterday. And, hey, 3 wins in a row, first time ever to start a season. It's happened. 3 wins in a row have happened, but not to start a season before.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
This is the first time ever that's happened. And, of course, MJ being the owner, he's done interviews during and after every single race.
It's still funny to me.
It's been a very
big
deal.
He's a bigger advocate
for
the sport of NASCAR than he is basketball.
100%.
Way more available. Talks about it. There for interviews. Seen it games. Seen it races in this case.
Yeah.
That man doesn't want anywhere near basketball. He's all over NASCAR.
You've seen this, though, with some athletes where they would much rather talk about movies with us during an interview than they would the sport they play.
Sure.
Actors always want to be musicians. Mm-hmm. Musicians always want to be actors,
I definitely
think see whatever actor, trying to play in some band on the weekend.
Yeah, athletes want to be movie stars.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure. Real quick, one last thing on What's Trending. Paramount confirming today. They're going to combine Paramount Plus with HBO Max And so this new combo is going to have the TNT properties and CBS Sports properties on one platform, and eventually could lead one day to where you could have, you know, sports you would typically only see on TNT on CBS or vice versa. So we'll see. I swear every 5 months, guys, these streaming platforms change the names. They change with the combination.
What's included with what? The price?
It's nuts. But yeah, there you go. Paramount Plus, of course, has UFC now. That was a big deal that they made. That's why some UFC fights are on CBS. So there's a chance, I guess, in the future, could you have
college basketball
UFC fight? Well, that already happens. Yeah. College basketball, that's the whole NCAA tournament. Yeah, we already get it on both. But yeah, just a little bit of industry news. Don't forget on Mondays, our friends over at 30 Hop, our lunch partner, perfect day to head over to 30 Hop, whether you're in Lee's Summit or just down the road from us in Merriam, Grand Station. $5.99 classic burgers each and every Monday at 30 Hop. And when we get one of these nice days, not today, but one of these nice days, awesome patios at both locations.
Yep. Great time to spend. I mean, we're close. Fake spring is here. So like we got a little of that taste last week, but we're getting closer. There's a couple of random nice days this week.
Are there? I thought it was going to rain a
like
lot this
Thursday,
week.
It's going to be
like
70, I think, on Thursday.
But thunderstorms, right? We're
going to
like a March thunderstorm.
Friday is.
Dude, it was thunder sleeting or whatever yesterday. It was thundering yesterday.
I was worried at first. When I landed, by the time I landed, it wasn't doing, like the roads were fine and there wasn't anything. Yeah. Like late at night, it was fine last
Sunday,
night.
68 and sunny. Monday, 70 and sunny. Next week.
Let's go. Let's go. Hell yeah.
We'll need a nice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
Wednesday is 53 when in raining.
Next week?
Yes.
Thursday's the big day, right? Thursday's the one's going to be awesome. What's Thursday looking like?
I don't know yet. The Apple 10-day forecast doesn't include a Thursday. I'd have to.
Come on, Apple.
Thursday, March 12th. We need the Thursday, March 12th forecast.
You have to go beyond the 10-day, I guess. You have to do the monthly almost.
I just need the 11-day. You know, I don't need a month.
Next Thursday is 50. Next Friday, 53 is what it's saying.
We can talk
Saturday,
about that.
51.
That's not bad.
Anyway.
As long as it stays at 50 and not go below that, we're
for
good.
Early March, make it work.
Let's talk a little bit more about Juwan Taylor. I mentioned that number one on What's Trending. Nobody that's paid any bit of attention to Chiefs football over the last, let's call it 6 months even, should be surprised by the news that the Chiefs are expected to release Juwan Taylor unless a trade comes together. Number one, it's all about finances here. He's due $27.4 million cap hit, or has a $27.4 million cap hit. They can free up $20 million, and that would get them out of the negative in the cap and put them in position without even making any other move to get them league compliant by the start of the year. And there's still other moves. Remember, they can restructure a few other guys if they would like to moving forward. And then Juwan Taylor, while I do think his performance was not a disaster the way it'll be talked about probably in Kansas City, simply put, you have 55 penalties for like 300 yards. Unacceptable. Not good enough for $27 million cap hit. But he was a starting right tackle for a team that won a Super Bowl. But it's time to move on. You signed Jalen Moore before you had the draft last year in case you couldn't get Josh Simmons. Simmons ends up playing for much of the season. Had injuries, though, in the weird absence. Now it's time for, I think, the money you paid Jalen Moore for you to get the payoff. And that is be your starting right tackle. And he's not a long-term option unless you feel good about him. You could sign him to an extension this offseason as well. So I think this is the obvious move. You cut ties with Juwan Taylor. He'll sign somewhere else and get a nice contract somewhere else still, I believe.
He'll definitely have a market. This goes back to the general sense on how will you remember the Juwan Taylor? He's a Super Bowl champion, and I think he performed better than his reputation in Kansas City. Is he a deeply flawed player in the sense that he has a massive penalty problem that man can't shake? And did Chris Collinsworth take an axe to a portion of his career? Hell yeah, he did. He caused a big problem for old Juwan Taylor. Or before, you'd have just been like, well, he gets penalties sometimes, but it's not that bad. And then the second Chris Collinsworth absolutely hammered it on a Sunday night broadcast, it got worse. And so, do I think that Juwan Taylor was a miserably bad football player the entire time he was here? No. This is my only thing about the offensive line as it relates to Jalen Moore, who I do think should be the starting right tackle, but I also think needs some competition. My fear, Gold, is if they don't sign him to an extension, then I don't think they like right tackle all that much.
Or they want to see more from Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
And then he has a good year, and then, yeah, it gets tougher because then he gets to the market. But you could still, they could franchise tag him if he was awesome this year, too.
He wasn't a starter in San Francisco. They at no point moved to him over Jawan Taylor when they could, and they were having trouble, and Jawan Taylor couldn't stop making penalties, and Matt Nagy was threatening him in press conferences to get it squared away.
Yeah, so I think that's more about the Chiefs' unwillingness to
maybe
to move on than it is Jalen Moore.
But I'm just saying, if they don't, I think they should extend Jalen Moore. I don't think he is, I think he is 90% of the quality of player is Jawan Taylor, with less mistakes, thankfully. He's not as good of a blocker, but he's close enough that I'd pay him, lower the cap hit for this year, and extend a year or two past, and just make sure the offensive line is squared away for a few years. We're not going into another draft wondering whether or not. Drew had pointed out a stat about Cincinnati that I think might be equally as true about Kansas City, honestly. He had said, man, this is the first time the Bengals would be returning five starting linemen in the entire time Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor have been there. And then I started thinking about the Chiefs offensive line. When's the last time they ran it back for a year? Not any time recently. Different starting left guard, different starting left tackle, different starting tackle the year before that one. Then it was Orlando Brown. Like, they haven't run back the same offensive line in years.
Yeah.
I just think if they didn't extend him, it would tell me they're not really confident in Moore. And I would think right tackle should be a little scary going into the year. Not like we need to be sitting to panic, but that there could be a problem there.
I just think you have to take advantage of the fact that for one offseason, you are not forced to spend high draft pick capital on an offensive lineman. They have basically been forced to do that because it's their own fault, right? They whiffed at with Kingsley. I know he's a guard now, but they whiffed. If he was
the tackle,
if they nailed him at tackle, then they wouldn't have had to spin a pick on Josh Simmons, et cetera. So I would like to take advantage of the fact that the year I have a top 10 pick as well, I don't have to go spin it on an offensive lineman. And if Jalen Moore flops this year and you don't like what you have, well then yeah, then we're back in the conversation of doing that. That's why I'm with you on the extension maybe for Jalen Moore if, in fact, they believe in him and maybe he's somebody that gets one right before the season or something at training camp. I just don't want them spending another top draft pick. So people, a few mocks have them taking an alignment at 9. I think that's a mistake based off of what you're paying Jalen Moore. You're going to just spend you're going to draft at 9 an offensive lineman. Jalen Moore's got an $18 million cap hit. Then you're basically forced to trade Jalen Moore for pennies on the dollar.
If you can find a suitor,
right?
Because based on that, you should be able to. And I get it. They said Jawan Taylor cut unless they can find a trade partner. Based on that logic, the acquiring team and the amount of money the Chiefs would save, well, then they should be able to find a trade partner for Jawan Taylor. Like, you know, $18 million for a safety net at tackle. That sounds horrible. And what the hell were you doing with your money? No offense. That would look badly on Brett Veach. Yeah. So you're going to just... You're going to take on a huge dead cap number for Jawan Taylor, cut him. You're going to have an $18 million backup tackle, and you're going to spend the number 9 overall pick on tackle too? The year after you spent your first round pick on left, what the hell are you doing here? Can you eventually diagnose good tackles or no? And in that case, I'm just infinitely less confident that you're actually good at selecting the player at 9. I'm going to start thinking the guy you got's not very good just based off of your history, not based off of the player or the scouting results at all. I'll be like, do I trust you? So far, who's his biggest hit on offensive line in free agency or in the draft?
It's Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey.
Yeah. Okay. So guard and tackle, great. Center.
Yeah.
Great. Then we start going to tackle.
Jury is still out on Josh Simmons. We're going to find out a lot this year.
Tackle, he's found
out a ton this year.
It's weird at tackle, man. He has spent, and this is why I don't want to pick number 9 either. And I saw the rumors this weekend says it's a bigger possibility you want to admit. I think that's a smokescreen.
Hopefully.
I think that's the
Better
Chiefs
be.
Trying to keep teams interested in positions that aren't the ones that they want to take. As in, if you want to trade with the Saints at 8 to get a tackle, you better do it, because I might do it. Think about the resources right now. At just tackle, they have paid $20 million a year to a right tackle in Jalen Moore. They spent 4 years and $80 million on a right tackle in Jawan Taylor. They traded away a first-round pick and paid Orlando Brown Jr. on a franchise tag for a couple of years.
Yeah. So
they've spent a first-round pick in Simmons. They have put, and that's crazy investment.
Well, that's why I do not want them spending a high draft pick on a tackle in a year in which, to me, they don't need to. Someone brings up, to answer your question about the better signings, Joe Tooney, they said, was one of the better offensive line signings. Yeah, it turned out to be a phenomenal signing for Kansas City. That was right after the Bucs Super Bowl. And they said, no, we got to go get an experienced guy. We all know Joe Tooney is still one of the best players in the league at his position. We don't need to rehash why they decided to trade him. I still have no problem with the trade.
This past year's
team with Joe Tooney, they were not going to suddenly be everything fixed if Joe Tooney was on the roster.
I'm not even sure they have one more win. Like, I'm legitimately not even sure it changes it to that effect. Right? Do you?
Someone said they could cut Jalen Moore and save another $9 million. Yeah, but then you're forced to take, in my opinion, then you're forced to take a tackle at nine, and it's a rookie at right tackle to go with a second year left tackle. I don't like that thought process. And I know someone will say, well, then what about Pole or whatever? Again, complete wild card still. I know we all got excited about the story. It's a wild card.
Out of camp.
He's hopefully going to be a really nice depth piece for you moving forward, maybe a swing tackle one day.
Yeah.
He's not your starting right tackle, though. I did not see enough from Pole to think I'm good to go at right tackle.
No.
To answer your question, Cody, Kingsley was good enough that it would not have made a difference.
No.
Right.
We did not talk about him all season.
I'm not even sure it's a win. I don't even think it gets you a win, you know?
We didn't talk about him in any bad way all season. If anything, it was props to Kingsley because we're not talking about him.
Tooney was better. The run game would have been a little better.
Sure.
The pass protection would have been a little better. Maybe, and I mean this. Maybe best case scenario is if you unwind that trade, they are one game better in the win-loss
column.
7-10
instead of 6-11.
And broker. So where are they worse? Because in that case, they have to pay Tooney more money. So no Jalen Moore. So the second that Simmons takes his sabbatical from the team, no more right tackle to cover your ass. You're just stuck because you couldn't afford him anymore. Like there's a cause and effect part of all this. There's a butterfly effect to all of it that kind of goes down the thing. I don't want to get hung up on the Tooney trade. Did the Bears... It's more like it's a great trade for the Bears than it is like, oh no, what did the Chiefs do? It's hard to get swindled when you're talking about late-round draft picks or players they weren't going to pay.
Look, there's been mistakes, obviously, that have been made. Brett Veach did not trade away Joe Tooney thinking he sucked and had nothing left in the tank. That was not their thought process.
They chose youth over
that was not
what's
the,
better for
the,
our team in the future.
Their thought process was we got to trade him because he's going to stink next year. That was not what. That was not the thought process. I feel like sometimes when we discuss this trade, that's what some people act as if, oh, Brett Veach misevaluated Joe Tooney. He thought he was done. That's not what it was. It was they chose. Now, maybe you still think they shouldn't have paid Trey Smith. That's fine.
That's a good argument as it relates to, if you're not going to do that, why pay Trey at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's different than saying, oh, how could they trade away a great player?
No, that, the Trey Smith part. But again, this goes back to the Chiefs, and this is, they're a winning franchise, so I don't really have, some big... airy to pick on this. Part of their organizational philosophy, Gold, at this point, is youth. When they let Tooney go and sign Trey Smith, that's because Trey Smith was 25 when they signed him. Joe Tooney was 32. They're choosing and will consistently, as an organization, choose the younger player when forced to choose between the two, especially for longer-term deals as it relates to the health of the organization. And look, I don't agree with this. From the 816, the only good picks Veach has made is McDuffie, Creed, and Trey Smith.
That's not true. Pacheco, while it's time to move on from, he was a 7th-round pick. It was a pretty damn good pick. Jalen Watson.
Yeah.
Nick Bolton. I know you and I disagree on the contract, but he's a second contract player. He's been a pretty damn good linebacker for that draft. You can't tell me they whiffed on Nick Bolton in the draft. That's just
not true. I'm not here to say
Carlotta has been solid.
Yeah, he got a second contract with the team. There are major issues with...
I would also say Brian Cook was
playmaker.
I go through a lot of good picks.
They misevaluated left tackle. We're going to find out about Simmons this year. They have struggled at wide receiver. Though that is fair to criticize.
Oh, yeah.
This idea, though, that he's only had 3 good picks at the position... You know, if you're just saying yes, that picks at the position you want, fine. But that's also different than saying, someone said Pacheco was average at best. He was a 7th-round pick. They got everything you could possibly ask for out of a 7th-round pick. It's time to move on, though.
I think I give Brett also a little bit of a pass on Rashee Rice because it's Rashee's problems that have caused the... It's not the pick. The pick, in terms of football, in terms of on the field.
Wow, the Rice stuff. One, I don't think they get a pass on that. You have to factor in what they knew at the time about the issues and character. Part of it is you got to get the character part right, too.
Yeah, not just the talent.
I agree. I think that is part of it. I think it's not a bad pick, but it's one that just materialized into something that you have to move on from, I guess. Because on the field stuff, he's been really good. I think that's the concept of it is, obviously. But I think the character stuff, I don't think... You put more blame on that on the player. in terms than the draft pick.
But
in,
it's a team in
my
opinion. Yeah, ultimately you
in my opinion.
So yeah, there's a balance there.
But like James Pierce Jr. was a really it ended up being a good pick at the value that Atlanta had, but he ended up doing. But he had a bad. He made a bad decision that jeopardized what would have been a really good pick.
But they knew character concerns going into it. The team screwed up the pick.
Yeah, the team
should have never taken him because he's a knucklehead, right? Like that part of it.
Brett Veach cannot have predicted that he was going to get in a car wreck and leave the scene in Dallas.
Yeah,
of course, nobody's blaming him for that. However, there were clear signs that this dude makes terrible decisions. So you have to get that part right. You know, like, yeah, nobody can predict what decision someone's going to make in the future, but there are signs of, was it just a one-off mistake or was there a pattern, you know? And this is where, again, they have to get it right.
When they picked him, there was a one-off. At that point, it was only one incident. I think that's the thing. That's where the player messed it up for them.
It's the same.
The pick was good in the moment, and it was really, and then he decided to make a mistake.
Sure, but
that. Because he had one little issue in college. I think there's a lot of people that have issues in college that we talk about that you take based on that, everybody's a risk then. I think in some way, shape, and form.
No.
Where if something comes up, like Tyrann Mathieu would have been a risk where he was selected. I think there's a lot of players that fall into that, but it's ultimately the player that makes it a bad selection because of the player's decision. The pick itself was a good pick in the moment.
Yeah, but if we're going to give every GM the out of like
alleviate
any character concerns and red flags, it's on the player to just correct it, completely ignore what red flags exist. That's such a cop out for every GM in the league.
Because it's the same as like, and this doesn't just like off the field stuff. It's also like this is the entire part of the evaluation process. Maybe they're not a good team guy. Maybe they're selfish. Maybe they're not a hard worker. Drew, that would just be saying like, because they're talented, it's not the GM's fault if they're not a hard worker. No, that's they have to determine those things and the risk reward. Like in the end, James Pierce Jr. is going to go down as a bad pick by the Falcons GM.
But it's not. It's not their fault.
It is their fault.
No, it's not.
I 100% disagree with that. And that's fine. We just disagree on it.
Well, it's not their fault it happened, but like they should not be like, oh, we had no idea that he might make a terrible decision. They can't. You can't. Both things can be true. You're right, Drew. Like, it's not the GM's fault he literally went out and did what he apparently did, but the GM cannot sit here a year from now and be like, how are we supposed to know that maybe he makes bad decisions? I don't know, because everybody knew it around the draft.
But to me, the pick is bad because of the player. It's not the GM making the pick that's the it's not the coaching staff that messed the pick up.
Well, then I want to be a GM in this world because I got ultimate job security. It's never my fault. Because
I think, yes, you need to ultimately.
How is it any different than an injury? Can I ask you that? What's the difference between, because you're just pretending like Jordan Tyson, for instance. Let's just say they draft him, and when he's on the field, he gets 1,200 yards his rookie year. He's awesome, and then he's hurt the rest of his career. It is a
because the player's not getting hurt. The player's not making that decision to get hurt. The player's making the Rashee Rice made the decision to leave the scene. James Pierce Jr. made the decision to do that. The player does not decide to get hurt. Hey, I'm going to tear my ACL today.
Right.
I'm going to break my leg today. That I think is that is the difference to me.
I
think it is different than an injury because the player. The player
You're
makes the decision.
You're saying ignore all character concerns.
No, I did not say that. I think you have to consider it, but I do think that for the selection that they made, Rashee Rice, when he was on the field, when he is not making bad decisions
or hurt,
the pick is if anything. If let's say none of this has happened with Rashee Rice, they hit a home run maybe with a second round pick in terms of his production. But then you couple in what he's done, and it's Rashee's decision making. It's not the Chiefs.
Yeah, I guess the Raiders. Yeah,
it's Rashee Rice making that decision.
The Raiders hit a home run, I guess, with Henry Ruggs because when he was on the field, he was great until he killed someone. Or it was a great pick till then. You know,
I just don't think anybody looks at it that way.
I also don't think he was that good for the pick that he was taking.
That wasn't even the
anyways,
point.
But sure,
but yeah.
Henry Ruggs made the decision.
Yet.
It's not. But that's not. It's not the Raiders didn't. The Raiders made a decision, and the player.
I'm not saying I would
made
take
a bad
every
decision in the moment. I don't think that that's. There,
I'm
I don't
not
know
even
if there was a character issue with him coming into the draft. Anyways,
I'm not even saying if I was a GM. We can move on after we get a break. But like, I'm not even saying if I was a GM, I would never draft someone with a red flag. That's not my argument. Is not that I think you have to take that risk at times with certain players.
Sure.
But you can call it hindsight all you want. That's the name of the game. Your job is to get it right. And if there's a player that has any bit of character concern or a red flag, you have to evaluate and somewhat predict, hey, is this really a problem or is it not? And when it doesn't work out, it is more than fair for people to say, hey, yeah, don't be, you can't be surprised that this happened. Maybe you should, you took the risk when you drafted a particular player. Yeah, it's Brett Veach is not the one driving the vehicle and leaving the scene, but they're in the business of getting it right and balancing the risk and reward, and character concerns go into that. That's all. All right. Up next, let's get back into the Royals a little bit. They got a new outfielder, but what does the signing actually mean? Plus the random question of the day. Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 8 minutes or so, we will get to the random question of the day. Video stream up and running. Don't forget, you can watch the show anytime you want as well, at your own risk. You know, some days it's better than others, depending on what show you're listening to and watching. You know, some shows you might like watching more than others. I'll let you guys decide which shows those are. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X.
I have the numbers. I can tell you which show gets watched the most.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if you want, Cody's got a new haircut. If you want to check that out, I'm sure you guys are fascinated by that. Dusty was giving you a hard time earlier today for the new cut. I didn't even notice it, I'll be honest. But
Dusty,
it looks good.
Dusty genuinely likes it. Like, I don't want to.
It's better going shorter Dusty like that not, with the fade.
He was not being sarcastic. Yeah. Dusty likes the skin fade. He actually really likes the haircut.
What can I. Can I
he wouldn't stop talking about it.
I thought once we got past like middle school or something, we stopped commenting every time somebody got a haircut.
I didn't even notice.
Like, if you get a haircut, I'm like, and you also got a haircut, by the way.
But it's the same. I think what happened was,
I think maybe similar in day and time.
I think what Dusty's saying is, part. I think that's Dusty saying, like, for me, I get the same haircut every time now for 4 years or whatever. I think he noticed the difference in yours, and that's why he brought it up. But anyway, you can watch the show if you want.
If you
want to
see my new haircut.
You know, some days Drew's wearing a Hooters outfit. Other days, Cody's got a haircut. It just, you know. Just so happens.
Mm-hmm.
Here so we are on the video stream there. Yep. Some days you never know, right? Total mystery in our different hairstyles. I like my barber for what it's worth. I stick
good
with him.
That's you.
He
should.
Opened his own shop, and I transitioned.
I'm loyal to. We've talked about this. I'm loyal to the person that cuts my hair. I drive to Lee Summit every time for mine, and you guys know I don't live anywhere near Lee Summit.
Crazy enough, the barber moved closer to me.
Well, that's
his own shop. I'm like,
nice.
Well, this is even better.
Yeah.
He got like 2 minutes closer than I was already driving.
Perfect
dream scenario. And I took my son. We nice. Back-to-back appointments.
There you go.
So he got a fresh cut, too.
Perfect.
You know, we're all squared away. He's still taking that basketball everywhere. And he wore his Steph Curry jersey all weekend.
Someone says, what's your least favorite comment about a haircut? Mine is, looks like you got your ears lowered a little bit.
Man, that's way
that's
up there.
That's, yeah.
Way up there.
I haven't heard that one in a while, though.
No, that feels like something an old person would have said to me when I was a kid.
That's a very old
yeah.
saying. Your ears
yeah.
lowered a bit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to avoid a lot of the like little conversations that feel so meaningless.
Do you talk to your barber?
He talks, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you're, because our old producer, Nick,
I would love if I could have a completely silent
really?
Haircut, I think. But I've gotten to know him well enough that I don't mind the chat.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Depends on the conversation. There's some days where you enjoy the conversation more than others, but like, I think that's part of like going to, I don't know. Like, I think that's part of the vibe. Like, if you're at a barbershop, especially a lot of them now offer you a drink while you're getting your hair cut.
Yeah, that could be way worse. All right, let's talk a little bit of the Royals. They over the weekend, and they still have not made it official, so I guess we'll wait till it's official.
Yep.
But Starling Marte is going to head to the Royals on a one-year deal. People expect it to be in the $3 to $4 million range. So low stakes, right? Not here to tell you. This is a perfect signing for a team that should be in the playoffs. This is actually, funny enough, this is the type of trade I would expect them to make later in the year. If it were a trade deadline, the exact thing we'd be saying before they signed Starling Marte, and they might still if he doesn't work out, which is they need a guy who's a bench bat, who can play the outfield, who can hit left-handed pitching. Ta-da! For $4 million, they get Starling Marte. This is a player also that they've coveted for a number of years. They have mentioned him by name as an organization for, I legitimately, maybe 5 to 7 years. They might have liked him coming out of the draft. They've talked about him so long. I don't know. This is a player that they think can add benefit. He's been on a highly competitive Mets team for the last 4 years, has been a highly productive player for the Mets the last 4 years. Other than one bad year, he'd have been second on the team in on-base percentage or third on the team in on-base percentage. They'll just ask him to play 80, 90 games, which is what he's done for the Mets. Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. He can play half the season, be available, and hit righties. I don't see any problem here.
It's a bit of bargain bin shopping, which is fine at this point in time. We'll see the exact financials, but it feels like that's what it is. And that's, I think he fits a role that could be really valuable for this team. One, as you described it, pinch hit at bat, perhaps, but also someone that could play a couple times a week. He's also an insurance policy to me. Let's say injury, it's always in play for anybody. You never want that to happen, but that's always in play. But on top of that, I'm talking performance injury or performance insurance policy, I should say, which is if Isaac Collins, who you traded for, you liked him, he's going to be your opening day left fielder, but he was a late bloomer. If some of the flaws that the Brewers were willing to move on from him for, if those crop up and he doesn't have the year you think you need out of left field, well, you've got a bat. Kyle Isbell, I think even more importantly, if the Lane Thomas bounce back post-injury doesn't happen, is Starlin Marte someone that can come in and help you if Isbell regresses? And then the obvious, if Jack Caglione, while we love what we're seeing in spring, no surprise there.
Yeah.
If he just doesn't figure it out, and I think he will, by the way, but if he doesn't, then Marte is another option for you there. So would you rather have, with no disrespect to Nick Lofton, would you rather have Marte or Nick Lofton? Come on, coming off the bench, it's not even close.
Look, there, and I don't even mean this as like
you're just trying to build. You're trying to build out your make yourself deeper and better across the entire roster, and that's what this signing does.
Well, and the other part is, you don't. This is the beauty of signing a player like Marte. It doesn't have to be either or. It only has to be either or on the major league roster. They don't have to like let Nick Lofton go now. He'll just go to AAA. And so, like, if they need Nick Lofton down the road, he is still available. And I understand Nick Lofton had his best year of his career in AAA, and he is a valuable, versatile player. He's more versatile than Starling Marte is. They don't need versatility. Mikel Garcia is an everyday third baseman. Vinny Pasquantino is an everyday first baseman. Salvador Perez is an everyday catcher or DH. Like, everyday shortstop and Bobby. They don't need an infield outfield guy. They need a guy who can hit righties in the outfield. That's it. That's all they need. They need a one-trick pony. And Starling Marte, for the last 3 years for the Mets, has been doing that. And so Nick Lofton last year in the majors hit 208 with a 278. And he played 67 games, similar to, I mean, Marte was...
Played 90-something, I think. Yeah.
He was 3 wins better, according to this.
Yeah.
Baseball
it's a move. Do they get better with it? Absolutely. I'm not trying to sit here and sell you that, oh my gosh, it's the most amazing signing and it's changed everything. No. It's a nice depth piece that gives you some options. I think there will be moments this season where he does stand out, though, and helps you win a baseball game. And that's all you're asking for in this particular move. And, as I said, insurance in case injury or performance with that outfield. I would also have liked them to have signed Cody Bellinger, okay? But that was just not going to happen. I'm not even saying you're wrong for being upset about it. That just wasn't what they're going to do. I would love that. But now they go ahead and sign him. Go ahead.
I will say, I wish spring training stats mattered. I do. Because if they did, right now we'd be feeling great about the Royals, you know? Carter Jensen hitting .417 with a 1300 OPS. Jack Caglione hitting .400 with a 1200 OPS. Bobby Massey's got a 1446 OPS right now. He's 5-for-13 with a double, a homer, 3 ribbies. I wish spring training stats mattered. I really do. There was even a grand slam over the weekend. But at the same time, it's like they just need veteran depth because they are young and talented and good. If they were an older team, I'd feel different. Having one old player is not changing anything.
Well, look at last year when the outfield was the mess that it was, and eventually Cags got called up. But remember, this is how ugly it got. And people were like, oh my God, gotta call up John Rave. Okay. John Rave is just a guy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what his long term career outlook is, but
it's not Starling Marte's career.
No, the point is like we've seen Waters. They've given him every opportunity. Just hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Nick Lofton, as you said, John Rave.
Gavin Cross, whatever the name is you want to say.
Yeah, we haven't really seen Cross yet, but he's. Point being, they got better, if in fact this deal becomes official, by having this guy on your bench than what they were rolling out there last year. So, we'll see.
Yes, even at that spot. They've gotten better in a lot of different spots. Every single corner outfield, or every single outfield spot, I would say, they either got better through addition or got better because Jack Caglione will be better, right? But Lane Thomas is an improvement over just Lane Thomas and Kyle Isbell. Yeah. Starling Marte is an improvement over Nick Lofton. These are improvements to the roster. And look, over the next couple of weeks, some of these guys are going to get a real opportunity anyway, because, I don't know, 8 of the starting 26 of the Major League roster are heading to the World Baseball Classic, something like that, right?
That's a good chunk. Yep.
I mean, Cags, Vinny, Bobby, Mikel, Salvi, Waka. Who am I forgetting? Lugo, right? So, I mean, it's the whole team. It's like a third of the roster. Maybe half the roster. Damn, it really is the whole team.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. And of course, over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, we live stream the show 4 hours every single day. Follow us on YouTube or on Twitch. Like and subscribe. Pop to the top of your feed and interact with us over there. Gold always says, I wish I could show you the text line. Those are text lines that you can see, as in the groups of people interact with each other throughout our show specifically. We're very good about being in those chats. I'm going to give Royals Review credit for this, but I'm going to expand it beyond just baseball because I don't want to limit our scope, you know? I want us to open this thing up. Over the weekend, they had asked, what Royals prospect were you just dead wrong about? And it brought up some of the names that I was familiar with, right? Shane Costa. I definitely thought Ryan Sheely was going to be the goods. There's a few over the years. But I just want you to make this sports-wise, right? College football, into the NFL, MLB, if that's your sport. I want your answer of the prospect that will haunt you forever, that you were like, this guy is great. This guy will be great. And they were never what you thought they were going to be from a prospect to a pro. That's the random question I have for you today. There's going to be a few names here.
Yeah, a couple come to mind. Now, admittedly, these were not first. The first two were not first round picks, so you know they're not guys
that
were.
But that's fine. You still thought they were going to be
fan favorites of yours, like you.
Some guys not first round picks. Sometimes it's just like a guy you believe in.
So this first one, I remember being at Chiefs. This is when Chiefs minicamp when they used to do it at Arrowhead, and you know, Bob Gretz was like emceeing. This is way back. So this is for me. This was late '90s, early 2000s. You remember the name Snoop Menace?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Snoop.
Drew, you remember Snoop?
I recognize his name.
Yeah. Third round pick out of Florida State. I was convinced. He was going
to
be. He only had 2 years in the league, guys. I'm looking up his numbers now. He played 11 games his rookie year, started 11 games his rookie year, 33 catches, 511 yards. Year two, only played in 2 games. Career over.
I mean, hell, I was pretty high on MJ Melendez.
They were both wide receivers, Snoop Menace and Sammy Parker out of Oregon. Remember Sammy Parker?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Sammy Parker, I was never a believer of him. But I will say that Snoop Menace is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the sense
I think I like the name, too.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. I was like 12 years old or whenever. And then Sammy Parker. Now I was old. I was 13 or 14. Sammy Parker, he was a fourth-round pick for the Chiefs out of Oregon. And he ended up playing 4 years with the Chiefs, and then that was it. He's actually a wide receiver coach with Deshaun Jackson. He's a wide receiver coach with Deshaun Jackson at Delaware State right now.
Adalberto Mondesi.
Oh, well, sure.
Is my single biggest maybe on-air miss ever, and I've had a few. But Bubba Starling, because he played well in the minors, and he was this multi-sport athlete. People definitely thought he was going to be the goods.
So somebody took one of mine. I've got a couple of them for you. One of them, Kansas City Chief, former Chief Glenn Dorsey. I love to meet some Glenn Dorsey at LSU. Yeah. He was so good, and he just didn't pan out to be anything of what he was at LSU when he was in the pros. Somebody also mentioned
5th overall pick.
Man, that one's tough. Somebody mentioned Shabazz Napier. It's a good one.
Okay.
I thought Trey Burke was going to be a guy. Like he had an okay NBA career. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great by any means. I thought he was the goods. The main person
he was
for
fun
me,
to watch in college.
The main one for me, Steve Slayton. You remember Steve Slayton? West Virginia running back with Pat White. Talk about highlight tapes. This man, I went and I looked up his numbers, by the way. In college.
He was too small, wasn't he?
I think that might have been some of it. In college, Steve Slayton was, his worst season was 1,000 yards rushing. He had 1,700 in his second season at West Virginia, he got over 1,000 yards one time in the NFL, and that was his rookie year, he was never the same.
He was awesome on NCAA college football. That's all I remember. 100%. The speed, Steve Slayton, the speed of him was nuts.
Virginia offenses, I thought he was going to be it. I thought he was the guy. He got over 500 yards one time in his career.
You could easily do this conversation just on quarterbacks, because Texas not mentioning some basketball players too, like Carlton Bragg.
Oh, man.
The quarterback that I thought the team absolutely nailed, Christian Ponder. I was like, oh, that guy can play.
Hey.
Christian. Right. And look, it's tough to admit now. I thought, oh, I'm one of the Chiefs. I was like, you know, they're kind of in quarterback no man's land. Christian Ponder, that guy can play. That guy can play. He's a good, man. That guy, prototypical. Dude, he looked like a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Looked like a quarterback made in a factory. Uh-huh. Stunk. Stunk awful quarterback.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Yeah, if we're going by, if I have to give you a position other than quarterback, this is funny in hindsight because, of course, ultimately the Chiefs ended up a year later drafting Patrick Mahomes. At the time, I was devastated that the Broncos drafted Paxton Lynch. We're going to have to do a Paxton Lynch for a decade. Whoops. Fortunately, he whiffed.
They solved that problem for you.
That was the rotation of bad Broncos quarterbacks that were taken.
People mentioning Justin Fields and EJ Manuel and some of the other quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are just an easy one.
Another Florida State quarterback.
Yeah. It's an easy one to get stuck on. The Royals prospects, the problem is like when they come up, man. Because like I also still very high on Jack Caglione. Like maybe one day, but like.
You liked Asa Lacy.
I really liked Asa Lacy. I loved that pick. Mm. Is he in the organization?
Do we know? Does he exist?
I genuinely do not know. I loved that pick by them. I thought he was going to be in the majors in a couple of years. He hasn't pitched in professional baseball in years, I don't think.
He was on the full season injured list last year.
He has not pitched.
He can't stay healthy.
Pitched for the Royals organization since 2022. That was 4 years ago.
Dang.
He's still technically with the
team. He is.
But, like, you know, it's crazy because, like, Asa Lacy, I was never high on Nolan Watson or Ash Russell, two guys that flamed out for the Royals. But, like, Ryan Sheely, this is where I've always gotten in trouble in mine. It's kind of like the Algier effect, but, like, to a much bigger degree. I was convinced the only reason Ryan Sheely wasn't already an all-star is because he was stuck behind Todd Helton. And they couldn't make room at first base for him. And if you just get that man on the field, this is going to work out.
Oh, you're not even talking about a prospect. You're talking about someone they traded for.
It was traded for him. But at that time, he was a prospect because he was like AAA going into the majors. And I was just like, oh, it's just because he can't get behind future Hall of Famer Todd Helton's holding the man He ended up having one of the slowest baseball swings I've ever seen.
Someone says, look up who Potter's wife is. Yeah, well known. It's not like
she was a reporter at ESPN for a long time.
Yeah, it's a pretty well known thing.
Kyle Zimmer, too, man. Injuries might have been his thing, though, you know? Sometimes it stinks when it doesn't feel like it was the players, just they couldn't get help.
Greg Oden, obviously, is one that, you know, with the injury stuff.
Yeah, I did think.
Brandon Roy with the injury stuff, too, at Portland.
I did think.
never fully panned out.
I like all the names that are getting mentioned on there.
People, of course, dropping Todd Marinovich in here on text line as well. Nick Prado. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, he's had a perfectly fine career, as in like he's been an NBA player a long time. I thought George Niang was going to immediately work in the NBA.
Like he's carved out a solid career, to be honest.
It's been
with
a fine career,
he's still
playing.
He's 32.
But I thought he was going to be like great in the NBA. I watched him play. He essentially just plays like an NBA player, and that's what it was. Yeah. He looked fast in college because he was playing against him. He was just so much more skilled. He was one of the most skilled college basketball players I could remember. I'm like, oh man, this guy's immediately going to play 30
minutes.
He's
doing all
right.
He's earned $48 million in his NBA career, which
he's carved out a solid little
all right. He's all good.
I did think that I thought there was
Hasheem Thabeed. A lot of teams.
Hasheem Thabeed is.
He got taken
Hasheem
second
Thabeet.
Overall.
By the Grizzlies.
I thought he was going to be good too. 7 foot tall and athletic. How's that not work? I don't think I thought he was going to be a superstar.
Who was picked before him too at one? Somebody who wasn't good either. I think there was,
really good. I think around Thabeed. Some really good, like Lillard or something. Some really good players.
Dame was,
2009, right? Blake Griffin.
Oh, he was number one. I'm sorry. Yes.
Blake Griffin won. Was very one good, was yes. Griffin. Hasheem was two. James Harden went three. Tyreek Evans four. Ricky Rubio went five.
Memphis.
Johnny Flynn goes six.
Whiff.
One spot in front of Johnny Flynn, or one spot, the spot
is Syracuse guy.
Steph Curry went seven, Johnny Flynn went six.
Oh my, it's Memphis, it's, and Minnesota took Flynn, right?
It's still all time that Rubio and Flynn,
yeah,
Evans, Rubio, Flynn went four, five, six right ahead of Steph
Minnesota
Curry.
Took Rubio and Flynn.
Flynn, yep. Remember his rights? They didn't even have his rights. Or not Flynn. Rubio, they didn't even have his rights for a while. He never ended up even playing. Yeah.
Come on, Memphis.
He never
Come
even
on,
made
Minnesota.
The NBA.
Jeez.
Huh. There you go.
NBA drafts. If you
There's another guy I thought was going to be good. Tyler Hansbrough. He was,
He was picked in the first round by the Pacers.
13th overall, man.
Yeah, He was one that didn't quite work out. He was one of those guys that you say, great college player. I mean, Tim Tebow, great college player.
I mean, there's so many examples. I mean, that same draft class for Arizona, a junior came out of college, Jordan Hill. He was picked 8th by the Knicks, and you probably don't even know who the hell that guy is. He had an 8-year career.
The NBA had a bad stretch of top draft picks, like from 20. There was a stretch of like 5 to 7 years of, holy smokes, these guys would never go in the top 10. I thought Michael Carter Williams was going to be the goods out of Syracuse. I thought he was going to be awesome. He played 5 years, probably.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Someone says Zion Williamson bust.
Zion is having a great season, by the way.
He went to the wrong team. He really did.
You're also, whoever worst said city that is not watching basketball.
Worst city possible, though. Like, at the beginning of his career, like, for a guy that had some weight problems and all the and everything else, going to New Orleans has got to be the worst place.
He's slimmed down now, and he's had up until he's sprained his ankle. He's had a really good season.
But he's been a bust.
The Pelicans stink, I think, is what a lot of people.
He's been a bust still, though.
He has not been what the hype on him was.
Does that make you a bust, though?
If you're the number one overall pick,
yes.
Versus where you were selected, I think so.
Because I think you could argue Blake Griffin wasn't all of what.
Oh, he wasn't.
The Clippers
had a nice career,
but he's been more than Zion Williamson's been in his career to this point. This run that Drew was talking about, 2005, the Bucks took Andrew Bogut. Then the Raptors took Andre Bargnani. Then the Blazers took Oden. Then the Bulls took
Rose. That draft was good, actually.
And Rose was great until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then Blake Griffin. Then it got good. Blake Griffin, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis. I mean, these are good players.
You get to 2013 or 14, like the Andrew Wiggins draft, you're like, holy smokes.
Oh, it got bad there
names,
for a while.
Man. It was bad.
Anthony Bennett.
Yep, that was the worst
Andrew
one.
Wiggins. Then Cat, he's been very good. Then Ben Simmons. And for a while, the Ben Simmons one looked like it was going to work until it turned out he hates playing basketball and won't shoot. Then Markelle Fultz, DeAndre Ayton, it got bad there for a stretch. At least we're back, you know?
The NBA top, drafted. We are full on back.
The top players, are they going to figure out their tanking, you know?
Yeah, that's a big change is coming in the NBA in the offseason. All right, that's the random question of the day. Up next, the Combine is in the rearview mirror. Some of the storylines out of that and how it could impact the Chiefs at 9+. Update on local basketball from the weekend where Kansas got throttled by Arizona.